Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ نعمت خدا کی طہارت کا پرچم طہارت کا پرچم فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے مبارک 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 ہو پہ ہم مبارک مبارک
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم It's a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Lanesia. It's 5 minutes after 11 South African time. I want to welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Sirius FM. I want to welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome our beloved engineer brother Bonface and of course our beloved senior ustaz of Ustaz Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah. Well, today is the 16th of Shawwal 1443. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Somebody just sent a message right now, Ustad, says, my sister is 15 years old and wants to get married. We lost our parents 4 years ago. Since I've been working and taking care of her, should I refuse or not? Ustad, anonymous.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah The sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam When we study the life history the Seerah Mubarakah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we find it was the second year after the hijrah and it was the month of Ramadan that the battle of Badr took place and also in the second year after the hijrah we find that Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha her nikah took place and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam solemnized and performed the nikah to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala She, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, was 15 years old and 5 months. So from an Islamic perspective, it is permissible. But al-fiqh al-waqi, when we look at our scenario and our situation nowadays, so remember she'll be nadan and she'll be very, very naive and simple Simon. So remember, and there were no parents for the past 4 years or so. So therefore you as a brother must not allow it. And tell her that she must stay at home, brother, and she must start learning all the things of how to run a home, how to cook, how to bake, how to sew. So inshallah, after 2, 3, 4 years, when she gets married, she'll have children, then she will know what all the responsibilities and so forth. Like this, a proposal came. Oh, you must remember, she got involved with somebody on the chat line or the WhatsApp or whatever. She's just infatuated and she's just taken for a ride. So she's nadan. In our languages, we say in Urdu, in Mehman Gujarati. She's very naive. So you must say, no, you don't give permission. And remember that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La nikaha illa bi waliyin, that nikah is not valid without the permission and the consent of the guardian, so either the father or the brother and so forth. However, maybe, I don't know your sister, I don't know you, we don't know your parents. Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. You should be reading abundantly and daily. Rabbana filli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh beloved Allah, Jalla wala, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. So in that way there, remember that Allah will forgive them inshallah and grant them Jannatul Firdaus. So why I'm mentioning this? Maybe she doesn't like the way you are treating her, or maybe you are too, you understand, hard and harsh with her. So she's looking for an escape route, an exit route. And now she just says, I want to get married, I want to get married. So look at all the options and all the things. But remember my suggestion, you should not give permission. I know of too many instances where girls were very, very young and they got married, and then after 1-2 years they back home, and because they were so nadan and naive, the husband will just shout them 1-2 times, and then their huzu will break and lot of issues then, because they were very, very, you understand, naive, and they don't understand all the responsibilities attached to nikah.
Somebody says, Ustad, that my wife went to stay with her brother without my permission. I would like to remain anonymous. I told her the last time if she does that, she must stay there for good. Does this wording fall through now of talaq, Ustad?
Remember, yeah, there are three issues. Number one is this. You and your wife are married 5 years, 10, 15 years. You have 2-3 children. So why would the wife leave the matrimonial home and go to her brother's house? That's the first issue we have to discuss. So it shows that your marriage is no more a bed of roses. It is a bed of thorns, that maybe you are hitting her, or maybe you are assaulting her, or maybe you are doing verbal abuse, mental abuse, and you are cursing her, swearing her, swearing her parents. Allah alone knows. But for any normal lady, just to leave a matrimonial home and go to her brother's place, remember, it's not a normal thing. So what caused it? What was the catalyst? What was the reason and rationale? So that you, the husband, you must ask that. It's very easy to pose a question, is it permissible for the wife to go to her brother's place without my permission? So remember, everybody will tell you it's not permissible, but we don't want to do that. We want to know what is the real reason that you say that this is the second time or third time she has done this. So it means repeatedly she's doing this. So something is not right in your house, and what is the reason? Balil insanu ala nafsihi basira walau alqa ma'azira. Human beings' nature is such, many a time we are guilty, but outwardly we want to give excuses and so forth and so on. So that is what we must realize. So you, my brother, you're not being 100% honest here in this case. So what she did, she went without permission, not permissible. But you must be knowing what the real reason is. Second one, you told her and warned her, if she does this the next time, then she must stay there for good. So again, what did you make, the intention did you make? Did you mean when you said that, did you mean talaq? If you meant talaq, then one talaq e ba'in, one irrevocable divorce will take place. And if you made no intention, then the nikah is still valid. So again, it's dependent on you and what was your motive. deserve and your intention that time when you uttered these words. Mm. Whatever it's worth, my brother, whether you made intention or not, if you made intention, it's not such a big train smash. You can marry her again if she is willing to. And remember, then you must make mafa mafi, ask one another forgiveness, because your marriage seemed to be a very, very turbulent marriage, and the marriage has turned sour, it looks like. So then read ya wadu do ya wadu do, and both of you come to your senses, more so if there's children involved.
I see on that same question, Ustad, I think it's the wife that she just typed the message. She says, Mufti Sahib, my husband is not telling you the whole story. He is lying to you. The problem is that he smokes weed, Mufti Sahib, and I caught him twice with his old girlfriend. That's why I went to my brother's house, Mufti Sahib, Ustad.
You see, brother, now there the whole story comes out, that you'll give us half. And I could sense it with Allah's help. I mean, we can't be so naive also, you know. Now, if you are busy taking weed, you're busy with your mandrax, you're busy with your dacha, you're busy with this, and then you want to be intimate with your wife, so all those haram substance goes into her. So obviously she's right if she tells you, no, I will not fulfill your conjugal relationship because you got all these haram things in your body. And let me explain to you, brother, if what your wife is saying is correct, then remember, Islamically, you must be given 80 lashes in public, because this falls under khamr, under alcohol and intoxicants. وَكُلُّ خَمْرٍ haram, and every one of these things are haram. And Islamically, the punishment, according to all four schools, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis, the Shafi'is, is 80 lashes. So you must think about that. Thereafter, you must remember that now you're on top of that now, then you start getting busy with your old flame, with your old girlfriend. You were with her in school, you were with her in varsity college, you were with her before, and now you go there. So therefore, the wife is so frustrated, and that's the point I made. I say, it's not normal for a wife to leave the house and so forth. There must be a really, real good reason for that. So now the reason is coming out. So my brother, if what your wife is saying is the truth, then remember, you are the guilty party. So if you made intention of talaq, then it's talaq. Now whether you must reconcile or not, so you, the wife, make istikhara and see that whether your husband will change or he won't change. If you feel he won't change, then it's better you don't get married to him, remarried to him. But if he feels there will be change, he'll change, and his children involved, then perform a new nikah, and you will only have 2 talaqs left for the future.
I see the brother is apologizing to you for lying to you, Ustad, and he says he's got 2 daughters, Ustad.
You see, brother, now you got 2 daughters, then you're busy with the weed, then you're busy with your old girlfriend. So, al-khabithatu lil-khabithin. So imagine if somebody has to do that to your daughters when they grow up. So what will you say? You will say, excel my AK-47 foot, and also twitskit, you see, or pitskit, you see, all these type of things. But for your daughters, you will never allow it. But you are the one. You apologize to me is nothing, my brother. We forgive everybody. But you have to apologize and beg Allah for forgiveness. Your wife is a good person. She's the one who's prepared to look after you and your children. But you are turning out to be the liar, the one on weed, the one busy, and so forth. So therefore, brother, ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask your wife for forgiveness. Ask your children for forgiveness, and you must ask forgiveness from the heart, not top of the tongue. After 1 week come, 2 week come, the craving will come again. So then you busy with the mandrax, with the dacha. The craving will come that, no, let me go by my girlfriend, she's very exciting, and so forth. Always the haram things, they seem very tasty. Remember that nicely. Quran says that, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ الطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث. Surah 5 verse number 100. Tell them the pure and the impure can never be the same. Your wife is pure, your girlfriend, the weed, the burnt rags, the dakha is haram, but that haram, it impresses you. ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث, it seems very, very tasty. Then you lose everything. You lose your wife, you lose your children, lose your honor, everything. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That fear Almighty Allah, O people of intelligence, then only you will be successful.
Allahu Akbar. Anonymous Ustad says, Salams Mufti Saab, my sister-in-law is an alima, but she insulted me in front of everyone. Ustad, what do I do?
So again, my brother, that we don't know the whole story. To give a half stories is very, very dangerous. So whether it's an alima or an alim or whatever, the point we must know is, why did she insult you? What happened? And what was the full story? You'll see, you'll wonder where verdict to go in your favor. So you give half story, you give me a slanted picture and so forth. So whether that person is right or wrong will depend what the circumstances are. If you did wrong to the person in public and then they tell you nonsense in public, so remember they are justified then. But if you did wrong to the person in private and then that person insults you in public, so then they are wrong. But you see, you and the previous caller, what you all are trying to do, humko pul banana hai. You want to make me the bridge so that you can say, see, even AK said I'm right and you are wrong. So you want to make me the bridge, you see. So that's wrong, brother. When you ask a question, then be fair to yourself and be fair to me also. But with Allah's help, we can make out now that you giving us one googly, you know, and giving us one half story there.
Was that an overseas question? It says, Mufti Saab, you mentioned about Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha. Her mother was not Muslim, but she is the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So how come her mother was not Muslim, Ustad?
Remember, initially in Islam, so many things were permissible and so forth. So you know alcohol was permissible. Now you say, how come Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu drank alcohol and so forth and so on? How come this Sahabi drank alcohol? At that time, it was permissible. Islam is a Sharia. It was evolving all the time. It's not the whole Sharia came down one time over a period of 23 years. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Ghari Hira, and then the first five verses of Surah Alaq, chapter 96, were revealed, and that is Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And then laws used to come down. Then after the Hijrah, so remember, many other laws came down. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ, that you cannot marry the non-Muslim lady until and unless she brings Iman. All these type of verses were revealed afterwards. Chapter 2, verse 2 to 1. So at that time, remember, it was permissible. And when these verses got revealed, then remember, they left their wives and so forth. But the children are all halal children. So that is what you need to understand, brother. Don't go and say, Sayyidina Abu Bakr married non-Muslim lady after the ayats were revealed. No, all this were before, because at that time, see, you're speaking of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, right? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was, is, will always be the greatest personality after all the prophets and messengers alayhimu salatu wasalam. That is our unanimous belief of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Khairul Bashar ba'dal Anbiya wal Mursaleen, the best of human beings after the prophets and messengers. You, my brother, my sister, I pose this question to you direct from Quran Sharif, what will you say when Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu salam? Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu salam, and they are the ones who are messengers selected by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Daraballahu masalan lilladheena kafaru mar'ata Nuhin wa mar'ata Lut. You, Ya Rasulullah, read these verses for them and tell them Allah is telling you about the wife of Noah, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, the wife of Lut, Lot, L-O-T, so Lut alayhi salatu salam. Kanata tahta abadayni min ibadina salihain. The two of them, they were under my servants who were extremely pious, prophets and messengers, selected by Almighty Allah. Fakhanatahuma, but they were non-Muslim. Both of them were non-Muslim. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam's wife non-Muslim. Nabi Lut alayhi salam's wife named non-Muslim. One's name was Wahila and one's name was Wa'ila, but they both non-Muslim. Then they had children. فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا أَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And their kufr and blasphemy did not help them anything. وَقِيلَ دُخُلَ النَّارَ فَمَا الدَّاخِلِينَ. Both of them dispatch to Jahannam. So what you will say then, my brother, my sister? Allah Jalla Wala at that time allowed the messengers to get married to non-Muslim ladies. We say unanimously, Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, prophets and messengers are ma'asum. They protected from all types of sin. So remember that for that time, to get married to them was not something haram. It was permissible. So Sharia, the deen, the laws of Islam were evolving all the time. Then with Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise, wahi was finished. Then few other things were left. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, authentic ahadith mentioned in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad, Mishkat Sharif, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin, addu alayha bin nawajiz. You must follow, it's compulsory. You follow my way and the way of the rightly guided khulafa. So that is where we are today. So I tell you, today is Wednesday. And now Friday, inshallah, I will go to this masjid. Adhan is 20 past 12, 25 past 12. So what we call the first adhan, that first adhan was not there during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, time of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, time of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, it was not there. But Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu's time, the Islamic empire was expanding more and more. And what do we see? That people were coming late, even for the khutbah, the Arabic khutbah. So he said, no, we must have the first adhan. Then there will be a gap, and then the second adhan, and then the second adhan, after that the khutbah. So who in his right mind today can say that's a bid'ah or innovation? Nay, 100% is part of Sharia. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin. So understand that, my brother, at that time all that was permissible.
Somebody says, my wife and I were having some problems and we decided to take some time apart. During that time, she decided she wanted a divorce without consulting the ulama together and trying to resolve our issues. So move this up. I tried all the other avenues to try and reconcile, but she didn't want to address the issue. She insisted on one talaq, and I granted it after trying everything I could. She is now been sitting in idat for 2 months, and I still wish to make it work, Mufti Saab, but she doesn't want to try and resolve our issues. What can I do, Ustad?
So which type of talaq did you give her? You mentioned you gave her one talaq. So if you gave her one talaq, a raji'i, that is revocable, your name is ABC, your wife's name is XYZ, you uttered it or you wrote it down, that you, ABC, have issued in the past tense or in the present tense one talaq, then that is talaq-e-raji. So during the iddat, you can take her back whether she's pleased or not pleased. So remember, Quran has spoken all the Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 229. At-talaqu marratan, fa imsakum bima'rufin aw tasrihun bihsan. So when you gave talaq raj'i, a revocable divorce, you can give it once, you can give it twice. During the iddat period, fa imsakum bima'ruf, you bring her back and then you treat her with love, respect and justice. But if you know that things are not going to work out, aw tasrihun bihsan, then release her, give her gifts and presents and so forth to soften the blow and to, you know, make it easy for her. And during the iddat, Surah 2, verse 228, وَبُؤُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَادُوا إِصْلَاحًا. That is in the case where you gave talaq raj'i, revocable divorce. But if you uttered the word, you, ABC, have given your wife XYZ one talaq ba'in, or you wrote down one talaq ba'in, then remember, you can't impose upon her. If she don't want to come back, you can't do anything. So that is one talaq, one divorce, irrevocable. So now she has to sit in iddat from after the talaq for 3 menses. So 3 full menses must finish. Then remember, her iddat will be finished. Then she will be at liberty to marry anybody else if she so desires. Almighty Allah has spoken of this in the Noble Quran. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يُدَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. So the 3 men, the 3 quru, the Hanafis and the Hanbali says, it refers to 3 menses, while the Malikis and the Shafi'is say, it refers to 3 periods of cleanliness. So that is what you should realize and what you should understand.
Brother says, talaq raj'i, Ustad.
If it's talaq raj'i, then you don't need a permission, you can take her back. But I'll give you one tip, my brother. Don't take her back to cause her harm. That Quran says don't do. وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ذِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا. It's no sense flogging a dead horse. Your wife is so bitter against you. She don't want anything to do with you. So if you know your wife wants to come back and so forth, then take her back and then she's still your wife. And if this is the first talaq, then you will have 2 talaq left. But if she don't want to be, there's so much hatred, dil ke andar itni kudurat hai, that there is so much, remember, malice, hatred, rancor, then leave it. Quran says, fa imsakum bi ma'rufin aw tasrihum bi ihsan, give her gifts, give her presents, and say, fine, you continue with your life, I will continue with my life. So make istikhara and so forth. That is my advice to you, my brother, from the Quran Sharif. That is Islam. You must remember that even at the time of divorce, then you, the husband, you should give her gifts. وَمَتِّئُهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِي قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ. If you rich, give her nice, good gifts. If you poor, give her some simple gifts and so forth. So that, why? Because you must remember, it is such a traumatic experience. Just today I heard a lady that, you know, she got divorced and so forth. I was shocked. I always thought that she's very happily married and so forth and so on. But today they just told us that this happened and so forth. So therefore, don't do things. You, my brother, I'm addressing you because you posed the question. In life, chase niyat, waste barakat. I'm telling you nicely, if you want to take your wife back, you can take her back. But if your intention is, I'm going to fix her up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, then remember, you will suffer the consequences more than she, because your intention is not pure. But if your intention is fine, that she don't want to come back, no sense, then I keep on flogging a dead horse. So let her go, I'll give her the gifts and presents, and so forth. Then Quran says, وَإِيَّ تَفَرَّقَا يَعُنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِي, that if there's talaq taking place and now the iddat is finished, Allah will make both parties independent of one another. So my advice to you, sister, you know what your husband is saying, so both of you make istikhara and then you can make some decision. You still got time, only 2 months has passed or so there's still some time. Don't make hasty decisions.
Ustad, one more question before we go for an interval. Somebody says, Mufti Sahib, I want to start a home-based madrasa for underprivileged kids and for ladies' English classes. Mufti Sahib, please make dua for me that I will be able to run it smoothly. Ustad.
Remember, the way I understand the question, nowadays we have to first verify the question so we're on the same page, you know. So the way I understand the question, then you can say whether it's right or wrong or something I missed out, then you can just fill us in. You are a lady, right? So you are a muallima, apa, call whatever you want to. So your intention is good, that you want to start classes for the ladies, or you want to start classes for the poor people, the poor children, daughters, girls, and so forth. So 3 questions before we can go any further. What are your qualifications? Are you an apa? Are you a muallima? Are you what they call, you know, you studied in a girls' madrasa? So that's the first thing. That's the thing you need to ask yourself. Because to teach is very good. But remember, we have to teach the people the correct things. Just today, and I want every student, every alim, every listener to write this down. There was a person, Muhammad ibn Sirin, Imam Ta'biri Ru'ya, that he was the master in interpreting dreams. So he said, as mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Undhuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum. Watch out from whom you are imbibing and acquiring your deen of Islam. If you're going to receive it from the correct sources, correct ustads and teachers and so, then it's good. But if those people are upside down themselves, they corrupted themselves, then it's better you don't even go by them, obviously, because they're going to corrupt you. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are people who are worse than Dajjal. Worse than Dajjal. Who are they, Ya Rasulullah? They are a'imma mudhillin. It's authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Those ulama, those maulanas, those imams, those sheikhs, those muftis, those people, they themselves are astray and they lead others astray. So that's the first point. Second point is going to be gratis, free of charge, or you're going to charge them or what? So that's also something you have to ask. Third one is this. If you are married, they have you taken the permission of your husband or not? So these are all gray areas. So you need to explain to me, then we can go further and so forth. To make dua, we make dua for the whole ummah. But remember, we have to be practical also.
When it's 22 minutes to 12 o'clock, there's a very, very urgent message. A sister wants to know, Ustaz. She says that, Honorable Mufti Sahab, there's messages going around about MJC. And to top it all, my husband is standing for MJC and he's debating and arguing with me. And Mufti Sahib, there are some ulamas as well that are speaking that say that Mufti Sahib need to get the facts straight regarding MJC. So could Mufti Sahib please comment on it, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Remember that last year I was invited there to Cape Town to Qasimul Ulum. It's all our students, our graduates from Darul Ulum, Newcastle. And mashallah, they in existence for 25 years, the Qasimul Ulum, our Darul Ulum, Newcastle, the oldest Darul Ulum in South Africa. This year, end of the year, will be 50 years in existence. So I taught them, Arafat, you studied there, mashallah. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala bless and grant Jannatul Firdaus to our Hazrat Muhammad Qasim Sema Rahimahullah. So whilst I was there, so the MJC ulama wanted to meet me and so forth. And you know, so I told the teachers there and principal of Qasim Ulum. And let me add this point also. Even here locally, Jusa, you know, the Jamia Transvaal, that day some of them wanted to meet me and so forth. So for both groups, I said the same thing. I said, I'm not prepared to meet any one of you all. We just meet like this, casually make salam, that's a different issue. But to discuss issues, I'm not prepared to speak to you, nor to MJC, nor to Jusa, nor to Darul Ihsan, in all three different provinces, in the Cape, in the Gauteng, and in Natal. Until and unless you'll do the following three things. Number one is this, you all must apologize for closing the masajid, you see. So you were the ones who went to court, remember that. Unprecedented in human history that maulanas, imams, sheikhs, muftis go to court and close masjid. Therefore, you can see Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 114. Whatever Quran says, 100% is our iman, is our conviction. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيُ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So we don't make the news. We only tell you what has come in the news. So go see the Cape Town newspapers. It's there everywhere. Go to the website, you will see it there. So it's their own executive member. So what bigger disgrace then? So for them, there is disgrace in this worldly life. وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And for them, remember, is a major, major punishment. So that was my first thing, that you, it's compulsory upon you. I know they won't do that because their pride will not allow it and because they don't want to upset the government. One. Two, I said, then again you all went, and friends of the court, when it came to the Muslim marriages bill and so forth, and you sided with the lesbians, now supposed to be maulanas, imams, sheikhs, and you go and side with such people. I mean, let us be honest about these issues. See, so I said, for that also you must apologize. And the third issue is that you have to tell us publicly. You go on TV, you go on radio, you'll give lectures. But how come the issue regarding the Shias, the Kuffar, who are swearing and cursing our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha, Sayyida Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, Sayyida Umar Farooq radiallahu anha, Sayyida Usman radiallahu anha, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anha, on that you are silent? You might make some private statement. That doesn't serve our purpose. Those are matters of iman and kufr. So therefore, I challenge them to debates. I challenge them that make this. And we wrote an official letter to them also, to MJC. Till today, there's no reply. Same thing with... So that is how MJC now totally disgraced and humiliated. You come to Jusa. They made a crazy statement, their secretary. He wrote to the Chief Justice there in Pakistan that their fatwas and verdicts are binding on the lay people of South Africa. And this uksa of theirs, they represent all the ulama. So I consulted with our lawyers, mashallah, our brother Firoz Bouda, Hafizab Firoz Bouda, senior counsel, Yusuf Dokrat and Zahir Omar, his son Abu Bakr, Hafiz Abu Bakr, he's an advocate as well, and our brother Aslam, mashallah, there you must remember in Durban, and he's a senior counsel as well, and they said 100% you got a very good case. So we said, you Jusa, you better apologize, otherwise we're taking you to court. So remember, they had to eat humble pie for talking nonsense, utter nonsense, that their fatwas are binding on the South African Muslims. Their fatwas are not worth the paper on which they are written, many of it. So remember that this is all documented. We sent it out the whole world. So they had to apologize and so forth. And then they had to admit that Uksa does not represent all the ulama of South Africa. Uksa came into existence in 1994. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sem, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib Ahmad Sadiq Desai Hafidahullah. So Maulana A.S. Desai Hafidahullah, he's doing work from the 70s already, 50 years already. So you don't represent him. So remember this, that is. So see how we caught them out, and then the humiliation. Then Darul Ihsan, the man, he got fired and a lot of stories happened to him and so forth. You can go ask them there in Sikau Lake and all that, what happened to him. So this is where we stand. Till today, I'm telling them, we are not prepared to read Salat behind you. We must remember that. Because you went to court to close the masjid. You went to court to side with the lesbians. You are not telling the truth. Remember, regarding the Shias to the Ummah. So, now the Pesach came. Before I come to the Pesach, to the Fulus, to the money story. So, Uksa, I'm on the record, I'm on air. I challenge Uksa on this. I said, your past president was a murtad. And remember, so they were ducking and diving when they had elections and what have you. They brought in another one. But this new one also now is involved in this money scandal, according to the newspaper. The top brass of the MJC are involved. Government gave them 900,000 rand, right? And remember, they can only account for 60,000 rand or whatever. So, Upilo, where's all the other money, Baba? Speak about the 800,000 plus. So, come clean. But they can't come clean. Why they can't come clean? Because you see, that halal logo, it brought haram inside. Remember that. Therefore, I'm telling you, all these halal logos in South Africa and in the world, 99% of them are not worth the paper on which they are written. It's a money-making gimmick. So remember these things here. So now the question we have to ask, when this news broke yesterday, we sent it out. It's our job that we are media. So when you do good, then you must tell the people you do good. When you do wrong, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah told his student Imam Abu Yusuf, and if you want a reference of it, open Al-Ashba wa Nazair Ibn Nujaym. I sent it out 1-2 weeks ago. He, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, said, when it comes to matters of deen, and people are violating the deen and the sharia, then you must name them. And you must tell people that these are the people, you must not follow them. Because they are so harmful. They worse than Dajjal, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said. But now the question is this. Is MJC collected from the ANC government 900,000? Then our brothers here in Forsberg, how much they collected? So that's the public's question. The perception in the public is this. I'm already getting messages. If MJC collected 900,000, so how much year does Jamiat Transvaal collected? Therefore, I say, all these organizations, whole lot, we need a forensic audit on them. And then shall the proper dance. Then we will come to know, remember, who has doing proper work and who is not doing. Therefore, I'm very clear, I'm on record. I say, I don't trust these organizations. And when people tell me about Zakat, people tell me about borehole, people tell me about they want to do, I say, give the majlis, and I give out his address and his account details and everything. So that is where we stand. Nobody is accusing anybody. We are posing uncomfortable questions. So you, MJC, now the press has reported that you have 900,000. So show us what you did with that 900,000. وَمَا ذَلِكَ بِبَعِيدٍ And that is not far-fetched still. Remember when that halal saga took place with the MJC certificate, and then you were exposed per TV by Deborah Petter or whatever the lady's name, and so forth. And remember, you all had to cook up the balance sheet and your stationery and all that, had some crazy figures. So cook up something now, because you have lost all credibility and you will lose more credibility till you don't make public tawbah. Lahum fi dunya khizyu wa lahum fil akhirati adhabun azim. Same thing with Jusa, same thing with Darul Ihsan. So remember, Allah is disgracing them. They can say whatever they want to. You must remember that. Therefore, I made that team that these people is not permissible to read salat behind them. Their names are all there. So remember, because of these reasons, it's nothing to do. Our aim is to teach Islam and protect Islam and so forth. Our aim is not to curry favor any person, any politician, any organization or any government. We will speak the truth whether you like it or not. Wa ila Allahil mushtaka wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What a shame and disgrace. The people who started these great organizations, Jamiat Transvaal, 1923. Mm. But today, people know, they can see. And MJC, 1945. But see today where they are. So you should think about it. People must be turning their graves when they see what is really happening. So therefore, we complain to Almighty Allah alone. But that day, we are busy with the lawyers. But we will try and find out. That I'm telling you now, how much did this Jamiat get from the government? We also got our people, don't worry. So dance, Ali Papa, dance. Remember that nicely.
I see somebody sent a message, says, are you telling me all these seniors ulama are wrong and you, who moved this up, you're only alone? I mean,
remember,
don't you think you're wrong?
Don't come tell us your fairy tale stories, yeah? So remember, did they go to court or not? Answer that question. Your senior ulama. Did they join the lesbians? Tell me that. Are they prepared to make public statement against the Shias? Who invited Tariq Jamil if it was not your Jamiat here in Transvaal? Who invited Tariq Jamil? So the signatures we got there. So come here, speak. Don't come with emotional talk and waste our time here.
Allahu Akbar. Alatana says, Ustaz, that can Mufti Sahab give a dua to read for happy marriage and duas to read when cooking? Ustaz.
Remember that read Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun, that Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and grant us such children that are the coolness of our eyes. So that is what you must read. Quran is teaching us. Surah 25 verse 74, read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Before cooking and all, you know, come I tell you a history. Then you will understand. Then you will have giants like our teachers. And I met all three of them, alhamdulillah. And I spoke to them, you know, many times. So alhamdulillah ala dhalik. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, our beloved teacher, he came twice to South Africa. And both times I had to also go. So the first time he came, I had to pick him up from here, Dalum Zakaria, to take him Dalum Newcastle. And then he told Mosema that I like this guy, he must take me Durban also. So we took him everywhere, alhamdulillah. And then second time I told Mohan Ismail, Aku, invite Sheikh Sabuni, but make sure he's not well, his son Ahmed must come with. So it was very good and all that, mashallah. So twice he came. So I used to sit in his class and everything. He gave me so many books. With Allah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. From Halab, Aleppo. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, we met him several times. Also give us ijazat of hadith and so forth. Khattatul Quran, the person who wrote the Quran, not computer and all that. Khattatul Quran. So remember, the one who's the calligrapher of the noble Quran. Every Quran in the Haram Sharif, if you look at the last page, you will see his name is written there. وَقَدْ كَتَبَهُ الْخَطَّاتُ Usman Taha. Twice I went to his house. First time he wrote my name, and the second time, remember, he wrote my wife's name and so forth. So anyway, that's by the way. So what I want to tell you, you're asking that you've cooked. Cooking must be good and so forth and so on. Go study Tariq al-Halab, the history of Aleppo. And Aleppo is the city of ulama, of giants. Sheikh Sabuni, in the past 50, 60, 70 years, one of the greatest ulama in tafsir. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, in the past 50, 60 years, one of the greatest scholars of hadith. And Khattat calligraphy, he's the best. He's still alive. The other two have passed away. Sheikh Sabuni buried in Istanbul. Istanbul. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda buried in Medina. He passed away in Riyadh, but they brought his body Mubarak to Medina. And our Sheikh Usman Taha, his name is Usman Hussein Taha. So remember full name. So he's still alive, mashallah. He's well in his 80s. So when you study the history, then the mothers, they were making wudu. And then they used to make zikr. And then they used to breastfeed their children. So today what the women are doing? They're watching TV. Some are smoking. Some are doing that. Some are doing that. And then they breastfeed. So what is going to happen to the children? So you worried about your cooking. When last did you cook in the state of wudu? When last did you cook making zikr of Allah? When last did we cook reading some surahs by heart while reading, while we read Surah Yasin? Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّهَا فِي قَلْبِ بِكُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي. It is my heart's desire that every one of you, that you must bear a heart Surah Yasin. You must bear a heart Surah Mulk. That is the Master alayhi salam's words. That everyone in this ummah, for Surah Yasin is mentioned in Mustadrak Bazar, and for Surah Mulk is mentioned, remember, in Mustadrak Hakim. So that is where we stand, and so forth and so on. So therefore, if you want barakat, then you must be in huzu. You must be reading Quran. You must be making zikrullah. In your menses, you can't read Quran. Then you make zikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, durood sharif and salawat, istighfar. Then you will see the noor in your food, and you will see how your children will be the defenders of deen and the defenders of sahaba, and they will be prepared to give their life for deen. Not people who are scholars for dollars and selling the deen.
I see there's three questions. One says here, Mufti Saab is not alone. We are with him. We go to Velcom. Somebody says, Mufti Saab, don't worry, Mufti Saab. Allah is with you. I've got a student from UK. He says, yeah, Mufti Saab, I'm a student from London. If our senior Mufti A.S. Desai has to pass away, or our senior Mufti A.K. has to pass away, then who's going to be there to hold the bull by its horns? Ustad, student from London.
MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala is with, always with us who speak the truth. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, fa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. It's not I love my teacher, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Saab, Hafidhullah, because my teacher only. But I will love them because they speak the truth. And we love Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib because he speaks the truth. So you must remember that Allah Ta'ala will always defend his deen. We are non-entities. What are we? We are nothing. So, but we always must beg Allah, use us, Ya Allah, to protect your deen. And Allah maj'alna or Allah maj'alni fa singular minal maqbooleen. So that is where we are. But people who cannot even pass a fatwa publicly against the Shias because you get money from the Shias or from the sympathizers of the Shias, so then definitely we cannot read Salat behind such people. They have sold the deen. And they no more yu'minuna bil ghaib. They are not people who fear Allah and the unseen. They are yu'minuna bil jayb. They're filling their pockets up, remember, using the name of Allah. I give you a last story and finish. The other day, you know, I got thousands of kitabs with Allah's help. I was looking for one kitab and then my eyes fell on this kitab. So it's a kitab I bought in 2000 when I was in Iraq. It's a kutib booklet, you know. Al-Imam Al-Hasanul Basri. So remember Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri Al-Wa'iz Al-Bakka. I'm giving you the reference. So Imam Hasan Al-Basri was giving advice to the ulama and said, Ya ulama, watch out that you don't fall in the category of the uquba, the punishment which is Allah gives the ulama. So they asked him, what is the punishment? He said, Mautul Qulub. The hearts become dead of the ulama. So they asked, but how it becomes dead? He said, Talabu dunya. Listen to the golden words. He was the sage of the age. His tahniq was done by, is mentioned there also, by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And Sayyidina Umar made dua for him. Allahumma faqihu fi deen wa habibu ila nas. Give him profound understanding of deen of Islam and make him be beloved to the people. So he said, what is the ulama's death? The heart's dying, that they will do talabu dunya. They will want more and more dunya. Bring more and more money. Bring more and more this, whether it's covered or whatever it is. So from anybody, Shias or who, it doesn't matter. Bi amalil akhirah. And then they will tell people, we're doing the work of deen. Talabu dunya bi amalil akhirah. And Sufyan Thawri used to say, Sheikh Abdul Halim Mahmood wrote the book which I have. Ya milh al umma, idha fasad al milhu fasad al ta'am. Oh you, the salt of the ummah. When the salt goes rotten, then the food is rotten. So don't play with the deen of Allah. You will get disgrace. And the people who say the masjid is the super spreader of the virus, where are they today? The public is swearing them. You must remember that the masjid is the super spreader of the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Allah Jalla Wala have mercy on us, and let us always associate with the ulama-i haqqani and ulama-i rabbani. Okay, next up is 12 o'clock the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, Maul Suleiman Qattani, 12 to 1. 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30. Surah Al-Fath and verses 18 to 25, and thereafter 1:30 to 2 Surah Mu'minun verses 1:09 to 1:14, 2 to 3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 3:40 the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3:45 to 4 various zikrs and dua, 4 to 5 will be Maulana Ridwan Kaji, 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir you heard of today, 7:30 to 8 Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 10, remember, will be the program, medical file, and so forth, with Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And 4 to 6, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.